Okay, so I'm on the phone right now with Dr. Caitlin Ryan of the Family Acceptance Project. She is going to be coming to town for two workshops, a family workshop and an all-day workshop for providers. That's this coming Wednesday and Thursday. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So I guess just real quick, let's explain what this project really is all about.
Sure. Well, I'm a clinical social worker, and I've worked on health and mental health for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people, especially adolescents, for the past 40 years. And about 15 years ago, with my colleague Rafael Diaz, we developed the first family-based work that focuses on LGBT children, adolescents, and their families. And that work includes the first comprehensive study that occurred all over California, including up in Humboldt and that area, and all the way down to the bottom of the state and in the Central Valley, where we studied what happens in really diverse families when LGBT young people are found to be gay or transgender during adolescence, how that affects their health and well-being, and how, in essence, we can help very diverse families learn to support their LGBT children even if they disagree. So our work includes not only research, but also developing multicultural family education materials, doing training all across the U.S. and in California and other countries on how to help providers and clergy and families support their LGBT children. And also we've been developing a series of family education films that are short documentaries that show how families move from struggle to support of their LGBT children. And the aim really is to prevent serious health risks like suicide, substance abuse, HIV, and homelessness, and promote that young person's well-being and keep families together.
Because, I mean, the unfortunate statistics are that members of that community, young members of that community, are much more likely to experience, you know, homelessness, suicide, all those things that you're basically trying to prevent.
Well, we've seen in research over a period of decades, really, largely on adults, but also on adolescents, that shows that it's the stigma related to being LGBT that increases risk for, we don't have any findings, by the way, on death by suicide, but certainly on
attempts.
High levels of suicide attempts and substance abuse and victimization, ending up out of home, as you said, homelessness, and for young people ending up in foster care and juvenile justice programs, victimization by their peers in schools, and other serious health risks, including risk for STDs and HIV.
So with, I guess, with attitudes changing in this country rapidly, hopefully there is less need for this, but I know there are still a lot of families that do struggle with this.
Actually, there's a lot of need for it because most people still think that being lesbian, gay, or bisexual is only about sex, and it's only something that is an issue for older adolescents or even young adults. And really, sexual orientation is about connectedness, and we've seen in our research here in California that on average, kids were identifying as lesbian, gay, or bisexual a little bit over age 13. Increasingly, they're coming out at younger ages, even as young as 7 or 8 or 9, and we certainly see in families and a great awareness of gender diversity, much greater than before. But young people, in essence, have a sense of their gender identity as a toddler, typically around age 3. So now that the media has become more aware that there are health risks and that we need to provide support for these young people, the fact that they are self-identifying and even coming out and being identified in childhood means that we really need to be able to provide support for families from all kinds of backgrounds.
Now, what about in families where there's like a strong religious background where they feel that this type of, you know, being identifying as gay or lesbian or transgender is against God? How do you deal with that?
Well, we support families' values and beliefs. We're not really there to change who they are, but what we're bringing is a research-based, a science-based perspective on how to help support children even if you disagree. So in other words, in our research, we've identified and measured over 100 specific ways that parents and caregivers respond to their LGBT children, and those include everything from behaviors like trying to change their sexual identity or gender identity, preventing them from learning about who they are, telling them that God will punish them versus finding a positive role model to give them a sense of the future, or supporting their basic core identity by just simply sitting and talking with them, even if the parent or caregiver is uncomfortable. And we've linked all of those 106 accepting and rejecting behaviors with risk and well-being as a young adult. In other words, we can show families that behaviors like trying to prevent them from learning about who they are or participating in a support group in the community is related to a 9 times greater likelihood of attempted suicide. And whatever the family's background is, families typically are motivated to help their child have a good life, fit in and be accepted by others, and to protect them from harm. So we can show families that it's their specific reactions, not their values, that are putting their children at risk, and help them understand how to support their LGBT child even if they disagree. And that may seem like a narrow framework, but in essence, I think part of the challenge has been an enormous amount of misinformation and disinformation about sexual orientation and gender identity, how it appears and develops in childhood and adolescence.
What is some of that misinformation and disinformation?
Well, I think many people, as I said earlier in our interview, believe that it is only an aspect of sexual behavior and something that occurs in sexually active older adolescents. But gender identity is a core part of who we all are, and we have a very different understanding of gender presentation and even possibilities today than we did during World War II, for example. It's really radically different. And we've had 60 years of research on sexual orientation, including more recently how young people really develop a sense of who they are. And now with our research that adds a health and mental health component to it, we learn that it's not the response of the parent to try to protect their child. It's behaviors that they think are going to help that actually turn out to be harmful. So part of our work involves providing accurate information about sexual orientation and gender identity, but a large part of it involves helping families understand that their behaviors have consequences and affect their child's risk and well-being, and also affect the connectedness in the family.
Let's talk a little bit about the workshops that you've got coming up Wednesday and Thursday.
Well, the family forum on Wednesday night, June 17th, from 6 to 8 at Eureka High School, that actually will be an opportunity for families to learn about the latest information about how to help support their LGBT children, how to integrate values and beliefs. We'll talk about their concerns and issues. We'll provide information from our project. We'll screen one of our family education films that actually shows how families move from struggle to support, and we'll give them copies of our family education materials that are best practices for suicide prevention for LGBT young people. The provider training, which is on Thursday, June 18th, from 9 to 5, and that training, by the way, offers 7 continuing education units. It will help providers understand what are the basic issues that we need to think about in terms of engaging families. Why are families so important? How to present information to families in ways that resonate for them? How to help families develop a greater closeness with that LGBT child? How to help them sort through values and beliefs and understand what some of the basic health issues are? We'll also provide training materials that they can take with them and help them think about strategies in working with families in the community at large.
And again, that is for providers 9 to 5 Thursday at the Wharfinger Building. And what kind of healthcare providers are you looking for?
Social workers, nurses, psychologists, counselors. We'd love pediatricians if they want to come. Clergy, out-of-home providers, in other words, health and mental health providers and social service providers who work in child welfare and juvenile justice. School-based providers, so school nurses, counselors, social workers, and psychologists, really from the whole range of community-based services.
And again, that is Thursday at the Werfinger Building from 9 till 5. And the one that's open for families, that is Wednesday, the day before, from 6 to 8 in the evening at Eureka High School. It's at the auditorium, I assume, right?
Right. And I know that they want folks to register for the, the provider training. And they can register through the Humboldt County Department of Health and Human Services.
Okay, and what about for the family presentation on Wednesday?
They can just walk in.
Okay. Are both of these free?
They're free, absolutely.
Fantastic. All righty. So so for the family one, again, you can show up at 6 to 8 in the evening, Eureka High School Auditorium, and then the all-day workshop is Thursday from 9 to 5 at the Werfinger Building. Both of these are free. Sounds wonderful.
That's right, and we're very excited that the Humboldt County Department of Health and Human Services, Queer Humboldt and Bridges, are sponsoring these events, for folks from across the area. And we hope that many people will participate.
I hope so, too. Dr. Caitlin Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us this morning. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.